It's fun to watch again. Winning is fun. Back-to-back nights with walk-offs. Who doesn't like walk-off hits?
I do like
that. Jack Caglione hitting 466-foot home runs. That's also pretty fun to watch, pretty fun to hear. This is how it sounded last night, by the way.
Falter delivers, and Caglione blasts it. Deep center field. Cruz is back. He looks up. It's way out of here. Jack Caglione's second home run at Kauffman Stadium is a moonshot to dead center. 466 feet. 110.8 off the bat. Whoa! A two-run homer for Jack Caglione. The Royals lead 3-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Back-to-back games with home runs. Okay. Alrighty.
Little something
Let's go.
Going.
Let's go.
By the way, did he get all of it? Is 466 everything
no.
he can get?
No.
What is your guess for the longest home run Caglione hits in his major league career? Because I'll be honest, I thought I got under that one.
488.
I might guess like 502 or something. I might be in the fives. And I know, I am very aware of how rare actual 500-foot home runs are in a real, honest-to-God baseball game. I understand that that doesn't happen. But I just watched him hit 466 to center, and I'm not totally sure he got all of it. Dude, he almost hit Crown Vision. It was real close.
Yeah, it went over two walls. It went over the first fence, you know, the regular outfield fence, then that little green, you know, batter's eye
secondary
thing or whatever.
Fence.
And then it was very close to the base of that Crown Vision.
Like, I can't even imagine. It would have looked like, remember how impressed we were by the Aaron Judge home run? It would have looked like that one had he just hit it to a different part of the field.
Oh, if there was like
center
a
center deceives how impressive that
Yeah, I think
was.
That's right. Like if it was to right field, it was rivals. It would have gone on top of rivals.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or over rivals, I guess.
Yes.
You know, or something.
It would just hit the roof at rivals. Had it like it was an impressive home run. Everyone saw 466 feet written out. We understand. I'm just saying if it had gone to like left or right that distance, in his case, right. You would have been even more blown away by the distance of it. So, yeah, pretty happy that Jack Caglione. And look, maybe this goes back to what you had said. I think a good point 2 days ago, which is if Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino are doing the heavy lifting for the offense and you're not the savior. Because I want to remind everybody, when Jack Caglione came up to the bigs, they had specifically said their hope was that they could call him up when the offense was humming and he was just another key to the cog. They didn't call him up when the offense was humming. The offense was garbage when they called him up, and it stayed garbage for 3 weeks while he was a big league player. And now what? I think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden, now that the offense is performing, the offense is doing some things on its own, that maybe it's getting a little bit easier for Jack Caglione. And I'm not saying he's like lighting the world on fire, although I still think this just goes back to the automatic balls and strike stuff. Watching him strike out in that first at bat, when he took two, when they're like, hey, don't be such a free swinger, Jack. We want you to know the zone. And he has to watch both strike one and strike three called strikes that are balls. You're like, well, how's he supposed to learn the zone if when he watches a pitch go by that is a ball, it gets called a strike? That just goes back to the other thing. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the offense is playing well. Now Jack Caglione is also hitting better.
Well, I think it's just the pressure is off of him because the guys that you need to count on and they should lean on and the vets that have been part of this, the vets that carried the team last year, they're now doing their part. They're all hitting at the same time, Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi, of course. And so now you just go out there and hopefully play baseball. And I don't know if it's going to continue the rest of the season for Jack or not, but this is a really, really promising sign that he just has to feel 1,000% better about
Weight
just his standing, his confidence, just like all of it, like whatever you want to pressure and just, you know, being down on yourself, all of that, like that has to be almost completely flipped now based off the last couple days. And a lot of that just has to do with the team winning.
Yeah, that's what helps. Because when he came up and he wasn't hitting, they were losing and he wasn't hitting. Now it doesn't, like, if you're winning, it doesn't matter if you go 0-for-4. It's a lot easier. Look, there are very few players I've covered. There are very few players I've covered that they go 0-for-4 and the team wins 10-1 and they're upset. Versus vice versa. They go 4-for-4 and the team loses 10-1 and they're super happy. Most players operate in the, if the team won, I'm in a pretty good. I've known a couple of players that were not that way, sadly. That they could go 0-for-4 in a 10-1 victory and they were still pissed. Like, and you're like, no, it doesn't need to be that way. The key is like you're contributing because his home run ends up mattering, right? You win a walk-off game. You win a one-run game each of the last two nights. You're responsible for a two-run home run and a one-run home run. You weren't the guy who got the walk-off, but they needed your runs to get the win in each of the last two days. That's got to feel good.
It's crazy. Look, last year's team did not rely on the home run ball, but it is wild, as disastrous at home as June was. They had one win, right, in the month of June, where they 1-12 or whatever?
At home?
At home, at the K.
Yeah.
And then to see this series to start the month of July, and I understand it's against the Pirates, okay? I get that, but they can only play who they can play, and so far on this home stand, they've only played the Pirates. All of a sudden, the home runs, I mean, that's what we always joke about, you know, it gets warmer out and that kind of stuff. I mean, it was warm in June too. I might add, it was warm.
Pretty warm. I remember some warm days.
June was kind of hot as well.
Wait a second, are you sure?
So I just, what the heck has changed in July from the power numbers? We know the overarching thing is hit with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, weren't they at one point last night 1-for-7?
Yeah, they were
with runners in scoring position. I believe heading into the sixth or seventh inning yesterday. So the home runs have definitely been a big part. And we're going to talk at 11 o'clock about still, all right, now that you have 3-4 guys hitting offensively, even more reason to still be interested in a long-term trade acquisition that helps you offensively. Like that, this should make that. I still am out on the rental thing. I still don't believe they, you know, this team is not 10 over 500 where I'm fine with buying off rental players. I still don't think that is a smart path to go down if I am the Royals front office. I'm fine with going and getting a bat. Totally fine with that, but it cannot be
multiple
a rental.
Years of control.
As exciting as what this last week has been for them, and they're playing a heck of a lot better baseball offensively, and they're winning games, I don't want them trading for a guy that is going to be here for 2 months.
Sorry, I had to take my Bobby glasses off so I could read Baseball Reference. The sunglasses are a little too dark. This is the other part of it is, we had a lot of conversations, I think fairly so, in the early part of the season of, has the age finally just fully caught up with Salvador Perez, and we are seeing the official, like, it's over. We got to look at, like, Carter Jensen's, by the way, hit incredibly well.
He's doing a nice job in AAA.
He's hitting homers. He's hitting for average. He's getting on base. And so, like, I was worried we were going to be in August starting to have the conversations of, is it going to be easy to walk on Salvador Perez because Carter Jensen's right there on the doorstep, and we can start having conversations around that. Salvador Perez turned a season around starting now when they need the wins. He was, and I don't have to give you the stats, awful in April, March, and May. He was really bad in those. In June, he hit .255 with a .305 on base, had 5 homers and 17 RBI. And now already in July, in just 9 games, he has 4 home runs, is hitting .371 with a .389 on base percentage and a .1217 OPS. Since June, so exactly a month, since June 8th, he's got like a 900 OPS and a bunch of homers. And so, like, if Salvi getting hot is maybe the best out of any of the hitters. Vinny's been producing for a while. Bobby's been producing for a while. But Salvi was so bad those first few months in the middle of your order, it was a black hole getting to anywhere. Salvi's getting hot again. So, like, maybe I counted Salvi out too soon? But the real question is always, can he maintain this? You know,
I mean, that's the question still with the entire group. You know, right now, this is a lot of fun. This is a lot like last year and what they're doing offensively and the guys that are being involved offensively. And then we'll see. It's only 2 games. But if Jack were to get going, of course, that changes everything. Salvador Perez throughout his career has been a streaky hitter. I would say, though, this year in particular, it took him a lot longer to get going. Normally, like, hey, in April or May, that's slow. But then he gets hot in June. You said his numbers were better in June. But what he's done in July, this is Salvador Perez, like...
His numbers in June are probably more like career numbers.
What he's doing in July, this is him being hot. Right now, Salvador Perez, as we sit here on July 10th, is a hot hitter.
Yes.
And it's obviously much, much needed for them heading into an All-Star break. And we're going to see what they do against the Mets this weekend. It's a very good Mets team. I guess maybe you get a break because the Mets are playing a doubleheader today while you have an off day. And so maybe that sets up their bullpen worse. Depending on what
they might get lucky,
depending on what they do, you know, but this is a Mets team that's one of the better teams in baseball. I think, as I said, they're like a half game out. I think it's the Phillies who are leading the NL East.
Text line mentioning a player, by the way, from the 816. Okay. By the way, Garcia steadily going under the radar, still hitting every game. Totally agree on that. Can we say something about Mike?
This has gotten ridiculous.
It's
all right?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
On Monday, it was one thing. We were sitting here and then look, your team is below 500. You're not getting 5 All-Stars, okay? In fact, even the Tigers just now got their 5th All-Star due to an alternate. So you're not getting 5 All-Stars on a team that's 4 or 5, under 500. Bobby and Chris Bubich, of course, are all stars. And Bobby might end up starting after all this because Jacob Wilson got hit by a pitch. He did not fracture his wrist, fortunately. Jacob Wilson did not. But they still might hold him out. We'll see. There's a chance Bobby, because of an injury, ends up starting. But anyway, Michael Garcia wasn't picked initially. We both thought that was a snub.
Yeah, but okay.
Then
it's a close call.
Then Alex Bregman, because he's hurt, needed an alternate. Okay, there's an opportunity. Nope. They pick somebody else for the alternate. You're like, wow, that's okay. That's ridiculous. But, all right. Junior Caminero, and he's in the home run derby. All right. Really nice player. Then yesterday, it's another alternate slot for an infielder available. He gets passed over again. Now, he got passed over, I believe, for a member of the Detroit Tigers, who are the best team in baseball. And maybe it's as simple as that. But if you just compare WAR and some of the metrics, not every single one, but some of the metrics for Michael compared to the two alternates, Michael's been the better player. I guess it truly is just down to, if the Royals were in first place in their division, Michael Garcia would be an all-star. But it's crazy that three opportunities to get in and he's been passed over, and he's clearly not getting in
it,
now.
You know, I try not to like it over. I get it, because the team's not 40 games over 500 or whatever at the all-star break. Just continually overlooking a player like that is offensive. And look, he's just saying, like, you know, he's taking the high road on social media. I've seen a couple of his little, like, you know, God's plan, or like, it is what it is. You know,
yes.
Like, just saying, like, you know what? I'm not going to let this deter me. But when you work that hard at your craft, and then you have the year you're having, to get overlooked like four times in a row, it's stupid. And you're right. The first one I could have made the argument for, right? I thought Michael Garcia should have been the all-star over him. But hey, I'm sure the fan of the other team thought differently. The second time, I'm like, I think he was definitively better than that player. So this one's a little more egregious, but fine. You want to make another argument because of home runs and RBIs. All right. I'm going to let this go. The third time getting passed over is stupid. It's now you're just leaving him off of the list because he's not a household name, but the guys you're replacing him with aren't household names either. And that part is just silly.